If you turn with me back to that passage in the book of Acts in chapter 13, I'm going to think about the truth of the gospel, truth in our time. A college freshman wanted to please his father, and in order to do that, he took up running. He had no particular skill, he had no particular ability. However, his father had been a good mile runner in his day. Well, the student's first race was against the college champion. It was just a two-man race, there was nobody else involved. And the student was badly beaten. But not wanting to disappoint his father, he considered how he might break the news to him. So he wrote a letter. Dad, I had my first race today, running against the best college miler. But you will be happy to hear that he came in next to last, whilst I came in second. What the student actually wrote was true, wasn't it? It had a lot of truth in it. But the impression that it gave was, of course, completely false. It's an example, isn't it, of that wonderfully creative fabrication that so easily comes into the thoughts of men and women. Based on a kernel of truth. And the world is full of that kind of thing today. There are many examples all over the place. The latest economic statistics seem always to favour the current government, don't they? Whatever government that is, whatever situation we find ourselves in, they're given a particular spin. The situation in Ukraine has a Russian spin to it and a Western spin to it, doesn't it? Putin and the West are both the hero and the villain alike, depending who you're listening to. And what about that email that you receive from your bank? Well, it purports to be and looks like it's official. But is it? And it seems, doesn't it, to be getting harder and harder to discern what is true, harder and harder to know what to believe. We could all do with some truth in our time. Well, here it is. Here, this little book that you have in your hand. This is the true word of the living God. Here is the most reliable truth in all the world. And we can think about truth to the world as we begin this section in Acts. In the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia and from there sailed to Cyprus. Truth to the world. The claim of the scripture, the claim of the word of God is that the gospel is truth for all the world. It's not confined to any particular culture, it's not confined to any particular nation or people, it's not confined to the West or to the East or to ever any other compass point. It's truth for all the world, and it's truth for all time as well. It's unchanged. This word has not changed in centuries and centuries and centuries. It remains just as it was written. It is unchanged. It's truth for all the world. It's truth for all time. It's truth for all men. No one is excluded from the good news and from hearing the word of God in this gospel. Every tribe, every nation, every person is to be included. The Old Testament calls it the good news of his salvation. The good news of God's salvation sent out into all the world, revealed to all the ends of the earth. Something which that great king David delighted to proclaim. We read about that in our opening psalm this morning. David was saying how he had not kept God's word to himself, but he had proclaimed it in the assembly of the people. He had made it known so that everybody had heard about that. You can read that for yourself in Psalm 40 and verse 9. This great good news. It is the word which lightens men's darkness. Whether you're the foremost thinker here this morning, the cleverest person sitting in this place, or whether you're just a humble worker, it doesn't matter. The word of God is that truth which lightens men's darkness. Its entrance, we're told, brings light into a man's life. Jesus simply told us, didn't he, that God's word is truth. It is truth in its entirety. Paul the apostle later in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16 said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." It is truth to the world, for all the world. And truth is power, isn't it? And the power of this word, the power of the gospel, is self-evident, isn't it? Here, as we read these verses, "As they ministered to the Lord and as they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And the very man who not much time before was trying his best to stamp out this word so that nobody should hear of it, that same man is about to embark on spreading this word to the Gentiles on the first of his missionary journeys. Here is the exciting moment when God's word begins to enter into another phase of fullness. That word sent out into all the earth. The exciting moment when all the ends of the earth begin to see the salvation of God and to hear about Jesus Christ. Truth sent out into all the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. At this point in our readings through Acts, it's on the doorstep of Europe. Not very far from Europe. It's on the forecourt of the world. That which was exclusively Jewish and had been kept within the Jewish communities was about to be expansively Gentile and be proclaimed to the Gentile world. The word of truth. And yet the issue here in the opening of this chapter is to do with the truth and the authenticity of the gospel. When they arrived in verse 5 in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God, but Elymas the sorcerer, for that's his name, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Is this message of the gospel, is this message concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is it truth to the world? Is it that great good news which every man throughout all the world should hear, which should be sent out into all the highways and the byways? Is it the word of truth? Is it the offer that you cannot refuse this morning? Or is refusal of this message actually a reasonable option? It's very interesting. As I was thinking about this message, I received my copy of Witch magazine, a magazine which reviews companies and things that we can buy in the markets and so on and so forth. And the front cover proclaimed, "Fairy Tale Special Offers." "Once upon a time, this TV was $3.99. Now it's only $2.99. Is it true? And we could ask the same about this gospel. Salvation to the world. everlasting life for all who believe on the name of the Son of God. Is it true? Is this gospel kosher? Well, the church at Antioch here in verse 13 is about to do what every true church has been doing over the past 2,000 years. If your team wins, you shout out loud, don't you? We won. When a son is born, you proclaim to the whole world, it's a boy. If you're accepted at a university, you announce to everybody and anybody, I'm in. Well, there were these certain prophets and teachers, evangelists here at the church in Antioch. And Antioch is sending out these men to evangelize the world. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. God meant this gospel to go out into all the world and to be received as a word of truth, to be good news to all nations and to all men. And so this church here at Antioch are doing just that. They're proclaiming the good news. We've done it here, haven't we? We still do it here as we seek to make Jesus known round and about. We've done it locally and we've been involved in doing it internationally. Some of you remember Martin Fielder, who's come home after 20 odd years on the mission field seeking to help make God's word known. Our brother Bipin, who's here with us this morning, has recently come back from telling this good news out in India to men and women who have not heard of Jesus Christ. They sent out men to proclaim the good news. The trouble is, though, that false churches send out messengers too, don't they? False prophets, false teachers, false messages have gone out into all the world. 10 miles down the road from here in Chorley is the biggest Mormon temple in Europe, covering some 69,000 square feet and sitting on a site of some 15 acres. And they send missionaries or evangelists out into the UK and into Europe beyond. We read, don't we, in verse 6 here, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, an intelligent man, who was seeking to turn him away from the faith. Here is, in Paphos, a Jew. The son of Jesus. That's what his name means, Bar-Jesus. The son of Jesus, or the son of salvation. Here is another Jesus, with another gospel, with another message, seeking to turn the heart of the proconsul in a different direction with this other gospel, which is not the gospel. A false prophet. He's with the proconsul. He's in the place of power. He's in the place of influence. And he's whispering things into the proconsul's ear, isn't he? The Jews in the ancient world were highly regarded. They were renowned for having an inside knowledge of divine things. Actually, when you think about that, it's actually a comment, isn't it, on the claims of the God of the Bible. They were renowned for having an inside knowledge of divine things. The God of the Bible was respected by the nations in some measure. Well, here he is, and it seems, doesn't it, to be a reasonable idea for a Roman consul to have a Jewish advisor, a Jewish sage, to help him with those spiritual things. It seems sensible. Notice how the scripture here links intelligence with a willingness to consider the gospel message. He was an intelligent man, and because he was an intelligent man, he sent for Paul and Barnabas that he might hear the word of God. The very opposite is true, isn't it, in our modern days? The assumption today is that if you consider the gospel, you are lacking in any intelligence. That's the received wisdom in our times. Well, it hasn't always been that way. This is truth to the whole world still today, and truth which the whole world can still today believe. And so we read of this meeting with this man, Bar Jesus, in Paphos. Now, the gospel, as we understand it, as we've thought about it this morning, as we read it in God's word, the gospel is either legitimate and genuine, or the church, and people like us here in Ashton this morning, are exporting fraud on a massive scale, sending it out into all the world and deceiving men of every tribe and nation, aren't we? It's one or the other, isn't it? The gospel is either true or it is false. There's no in-between on this. So much of what you hear in the world is confusing, isn't it? So much of what you hear in the world is contradictory. And we just don't know whether it's true or not. Our young people are becoming so immersed in relative ideas, it's a novel thing for them when they hear something which claims to be absolutely true. I was speaking with Vince Tracy's daughter last week at Blackpool, and she was saying how fascinating it is to speak to young people who are all agog when you tell them that this word is utterly and absolutely true. Because everything that they hear is relative. It might be true, it might not be true. But this word claims to be absolutely and utterly and totally true. Your word is truth in its entirety. At the beginning of this new year, this is a question for us, isn't it? What is true? Another year of our lives has just passed. And we want to know, are you climbing the right ladder? For a number of us here this morning, the top of the ladder's in sight, isn't it? We need to know, are we climbing up the right one? Is this word, is this message true? Like Pilate, we might ask, what is truth? We've just had a major celebration, haven't we? The church exhorting and insisting that people hear and consider the truth about Christmas, because the myth and the fairy tale and the fraud that surround Christmas are as frustrating as it is grievous, isn't it? And we want people to hear the truth. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's the word of the angel, the word given to the angel by God to go out into all the world. What is vital for you and me to know this morning is whether this message is true. Is this something that you can rely on? Is this something that you can live by? Is this something that you can build your life upon in the year ahead? Is this truth to all the world as it claims to be? It's important to know that, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, truth or foolishness? Power or propaganda? True or false? Which is it? What's true? This is exactly the issue that Paul and his companions are facing as they go throughout the island of Cyprus and travel through the island to Paphos, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. They'd gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, Bar-Jesus by name, who was with the proconsul seeking to turn him away from the faith. They've gone out with the gospel. We do the same, don't we? We preach this word, we promote it, and we want people to hear about it. We say to them that it's a vital issue. Well, what should you hear? What should you believe? What should you receive this morning? And does it matter at all? Does it matter at all? Well, later on, Paul spoke of a different gospel in Galatians 1 and verse 7. A different gospel which is not another gospel. There are those who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. In a sinful and fallen world, in the world that we live in here in 2015, there are always those who are ready to counterfeit what is good and what is true, who are ready to counterfeit the real deal. There's a whole industry, isn't there, in the markets, in the media, on the internet. There are counterfeits galore. It's very interesting, isn't it, that people only bother counterfeiting those things which are real and good and of value. We don't bother counterfeiting rubbish. Nobody wants to buy a piece of counterfeit rubbish. They want to have the genuine article if they can, but if they can't afford it, they're happy with a counterfeit of the real deal, aren't they? The world is full of counterfeits, but this gospel claims to be truth to the world, and it is teaching that is true. Saul, in verse 9, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at this man, Bar-Jesus, and said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell upon him. And the proconsul, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord and seeing these things, believed. Teaching that is true. How do you spot the truth then? We need to be able to do that, don't we? This man, Bar-Jesus, was with the proconsul, an intelligent man, but seeking to turn his heart away from the faith. This Roman consul was influential as well as intelligent. Clearly he had an inquisitive mind. Clearly he wanted to understand things, to know things, to know about the Word of God. He sought to hear the Word of God. If only that were true of people today. If they were intelligent enough to consider these things. Today they believe nothing, they look into nothing, so it seems. But several texts throughout God's Word say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This man, Sergius Paulus, he respected and revered God, at least the idea of God. He didn't know the God of the Bible. But he had in his thoughts some notion of God. That's a strong contrast, isn't it, with modern men and women today. You have to begin again to persuade them and show them today that there is a God, because they don't believe that there is. That's the deadness of sin, isn't it? It robs a man of his faculties, of what's patently obvious. We didn't just pop into existence from nothing by itself. There patently is a God. Getting to the truth, knowing what is true, starts with acknowledging the Lord. This man sent to hear the Word of God. He wanted to hear that teaching which was true. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." If you're seeking the truth, you have to begin somewhere, don't you? And the fear of the Lord is a good place to begin. That's where this man, Sergius Paulus, began. He began with the Word of the Lord. Time and again, the Bible puts God and truth together. Finding one reveals the other. And that's an important principle for us to understand this morning. God reveals himself to the man who seeks him. In the Old Testament, remember Moses in the desert when he turned aside to see the burning bush. What happened? Well, as God observed Moses turning aside, it was when he came to have a look that God revealed himself to him and spoke to him and sent him with that mission. We notice this passage here, it exposes a striking contrast between Paul and Elymas, doesn't it? This Jewish advisor is full of human philosophy. It's pseudo-spiritual, isn't it? Using the idea of God to proclaim something else. Atheism does that. It uses the idea of God to deny him. And you have to believe it by faith. Because you can't prove it. And we have that here, don't we? Man's ideas dressed in the mysticism of expert knowledge. The sorcerer in verse 7. It's a pity that it's been translated in that way, because that means something entirely different to us today, doesn't it? In the days of Harry Potter and all of that kind of stuff, sorcerer doesn't mean what the intended meaning was. It means expert or skillful one. In Paul's day, people like Elymas. In our day, people like Richard Dawkins and the men of science, the experts, the skillful ones. Our world's full of them, isn't it? You hear them on Radio 4. Those experts who are fountains of all human knowledge and learning. They'll tell you how the universe originated. They'll tell you how the stars are formed. They'll tell you how the world is going to end in billions of years. They'll tell you whatever you want to know. They're fountains of human learning. A Christmas Day special this year was the Infinite Monkey Cage with Professor Brian Cox. Just as the New Testament declares to us, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, professing themselves wise, they have become fools. They're full of all fraud and deceit, as Saul or Paul says to Elymas there in verse 10. The enemy of all righteousness, not ceasing to pervert the straight ways of the Lord. Modern day magos, modern day sorcerers, modern day wise men. So how do you spot the truth? Well, we notice that Paul is not a magos, but he is wise. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. James says in James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. See, there is one obvious contrast, isn't there, between truth and error here. We see it in verses 6 and 7 as we read those verses. Elymas purports to be the son of salvation, Bar Jesus by name, son of Jesus. Yet his message, the wisdom that he has, it's not from above, is it? It's not pure. It's not peaceable. He sought to withstand Paul and Barnabas. He sought to turn the proconsul's heart. It's not that wisdom that's from above. It's self-serving, isn't it? In contrast, on another occasion, Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified." See, Paul is the one preaching salvation. Paul is the one proclaiming the truth, isn't it? Through the Son of God. Error will always point you to men and to human wisdom. But the truth of God points you to the Son of God. Paul doesn't promote himself here. He promotes Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God and sanctification and redemption, and righteousness. All of those things that are good and good for us. Paul doesn't promote himself, he promotes Christ. Nobody can fault Christ. Hebrews 7:26 says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and who has become higher than the heavens." It's speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How do you spot the truth? Well, the truth of the gospel is revealed, isn't it, in son promotion, not self promotion. Paul preached Christ. Elymas makes crooked what is straight in verse 10, doesn't he? The ways of the Lord. His wisdom is aimed at perversion, not conversion. His words deviate from the truth little by little. They substitute human wisdom and human philosophy. These are the men who turn men's heart from God. They obscure, they erase all thought of salvation. In contrast, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, men like Elymas will tell you that there are many ways to be saved. There are many ways to find God. There are many ways to get the right karma. Or there's no way. because there's no salvation. They put darkness for light. The gospel, on the other hand, is light. Its entrance brings light. It is a true word of the living God. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19, "So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place." This is the Holy Spirit at work here, isn't it? Teaching truth that you and I can rely upon. Who confirms the word of God to this man Sergius Paulus as he listens to the word from Paul. Sergius Paulus saw the truth, being astonished by the teaching of the Lord in verse 12. And he believed, the Holy Spirit opening his eyes. As for this man Elymas, he was left in the darkness. The Bible says over and over and over again that this gospel is a word of truth. And in it we see that contrast between the word and the world, between light and darkness. Because we're in a spiritual battlefield. This is a battle, isn't it, between the sons of Satan and the sons of God. The word of a deceiver and the word of that divine authority who sits in glory in the heavens, who made the heaven, the earth, and all things. Jesus said, didn't he, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit here, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who testifies and witnesses concerning Jesus Christ, brings the word of God to the proconsul, who believes and is set free from Elymas. And Elymas is left in the dark. Truth never leaves you confused and in the dark unless you kick against it. The truth of the gospel will never seek to defraud you or to steer you away from God. It will always point you to the Son of God. And may you have eyes to see the Son of God this morning, to see that this is truth to the world, and this teaching is true, and you may receive it and believe it and be saved. And you're invited to do that once again this morning.